is that Parshas Tezria in Tav Shin Ayin Dalet. So if you look in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Zayin Mem Chas, it says, Va'abeged kia bo neged tzaras. When it has a neg of tzaras, the beged semer or beged pishin, by wool or by linen, obish si oba erev, either by the warp or the woof. Nobody knows what that is, but I do. Warp is when those strings that go this way. Woof are the strings that go that way. Okay? So it's those strings that go there, and you're supposed to have all those strings are set, and you put in strings, white in the other, one on top of the other, one in there. So that's that. Lepishtim letzemer for the linen and the wool, over or in leather, over chomalakas, or anything that is made out of leather. Now, it does not apply. Tzaras of begadim does not apply by synthetic material, which means plastic fibers, anything like that. It doesn't apply by silk either. So there's going to be questions. Why doesn't it apply by them? But tzaras beged does apply by these specific things. By wool, linen, leather, and seemingly anything similar to them, but not by anything else. So the Ramban, he first tells us. The number one, the Ramban says that tzaras is somewhat of a natural idea. That there is something normal by tzaras, and that it is something normal. Okay, the Ramban says that clothing getting tzaras is totally unnatural. Totally unnatural. It never happens. There's no way that a regular piece of clothing can get this type of tzaras. It's impossible. When our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at an extremely high level, Ruach HaKodesh was with us at all times, and we were always able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we went, then that allowed our bodies, our clothes, and our homes to be without any problems. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us before it ever happened. We never had to worry about anything, and everything was perfectly fine. If a person on that level would sin, God would send a little bit of a, hey, big guy, stop it. And that's what he would do in order to stop the person from doing everything he was doing. It would be a blemish on any one of those three, either again, the clothing or the house or the body, in order to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu was turned away from him for the moment, and therefore you should do tshuva. That's what the Gemara in Horius and Daf Yud says, that the whole purpose of it is to be able to wake the guy up and say, look what you're doing. You're causing rot in your houses. You're causing rot in your clothing. You're causing rot in yourself. That's the idea behind it, and that's the concept. Okay? I was trying to go for... I was just laughing at it this time. Stan, I appreciate that. What about saying it? No, it's fine. I'm not tall enough. I would have been there. The Gemara only discusses tzaras on houses. It never brings down tzaras on begadim. It doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't bring it down anywhere, meaning in any place, anything specific about the begadim. It just says that tzaras on houses never happened and never will happen. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Ayin Aleph. It doesn't say, nowhere does it mention anything about tzaras begadim, but it says tzaras on houses never happened, never will happen. It says that tzaras on houses can only appear in Eretz Yisrael, meaning it can only be in the chosen land for the chosen people, for the greatest tzaddikim, for great men, once their minds are settled and they're able to sit and learn properly, meaning after they conquered the land and everything was theirs. That's the first time that it could happen. You know, it seems, says Ramban, that the same is true by clothing as well. What's up, Brian?
Ironic that a lot of houses in Eretz Yisrael are white.
Or white. No, I think that's part of the reason why. A lot of them have mold. That's not a coincidence as well. But regardless, it seems that it's the same by clothing as well. It's never going to happen outside of Eretz Yisrael. So you never have to worry about it anywhere else. It's not a problem in any other place. That you don't have to worry about it. Since the entire thing is a miracle, the entire thing is miraculous, it's beyond anything normal, and it's not something that you expect because of stuff like that. So therefore, it keeps repeating the same terms over and over again. That it says, open. See Oba Arab Oba Or, just for that reason. And maybe that's the reason why it only occurs with white clothing and not anything else. Because seemingly the nega can be explained away by colorful clothing, but by white clothing it can't be. But that's the Ramban. The Ramban says that it's something special for holy people in holy places. It cannot be done in anywhere else, and it's not normal to happen in anywhere else, but that's what it is by Big Negun. Now, the Kuzari, written again by the Big Chacham, we don't know who it is, but translated by Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who spoke with the Khuzar king. So he says very similar. It's a little bit interesting how he puts it. When Bnei Yisrael were on a high level, they had something called chius elokus, where their godliness was shown within their system, and you could see just by looking at them that they were a tremendous person. Now, here's the greatest thing he says. The Jews looked different back then. It's not about their physical appearance. It's not about that whatsoever. We had a different appearance when people looked at us, meaning we shone in a way. There was a shine that came from our body. bodies, there was something that was different, and when people looked at us, they saw something that was holy. They may not have realized what it was, and to them, they may have even seen it as a type of beauty, but it wasn't that we were beautiful. For example, Reb Yochanan. Everybody knows that Reb Yochanan was supposed to be an extremely beautiful human being. Reish Lakish jumped into the river, seemingly, because he thought he was a girl. The Reb Yochanan was a girl, thinking that he was so beautiful, and that's fair. But the Gemara says so many interesting things about Reb Yochanan and Bava Metzia. It says he didn't have a beard, so he didn't have hadras panim. He didn't have a good-looking face. The Gemara Bava Kama Kufyud Ches, Kufyud Zayinim et Aleph, says that he had these massive eyelashes and eyebrows that covered up all of his eyes, in which the only way for him to see was to be able to lift them up with iron pinchers. That is not a sign of beauty. That doesn't show anybody this beauty. But the difference was Reb Yochanan had a shine that went with him. In Brachos Dav Hei, when he undid his sleeve, a light came forth from his skin. When Abigail, who's known as one of the four most beautiful people to have ever lived, when she was coming down a certain hill in order to greet David HaMelech, a little part of her leg showed. Somehow the dress got pulled up a little bit and a part of her leg showed, and a light shone from it that went 400 parsas to the point where David HaMelech wanted to be together with her. It's not about physical beauty in that regard. If there's something different. And says the Kuzari that every Jew back in the day had this splendor, this beauty, something that was there that was completely different from everything that they had. So says the Kuzari over here that when Bnei Yisrael started to do wrong things, their advice went sour, they became dumber, their bodies became uglier in a general sense. Not that they became uglier, it's that they lost that shine. Things looked different, the people looked different, and for people that had sinned, this was the sign that the Ora Shechina had gone away from them in ugliness that appeared on their skin. Something that appeared on their skin, on their clothing, on their houses, to show them that they no longer had the beauty of Chochmas Elokus, the idea of godliness with them. They no longer had that. It was taken away from them. That's what the Kuzari says happened to Bnei Yisrael every time they had Saras. A crazy concept. But that's the idea of Reb Yochanan, that it was gone after Reb Yochanan was there. That also, by the way, as a side note, explains what Reb Yochanan was doing in Brachos Dav Chav. You know what I'm talking about, right?
What?
Brachos Dav Chav, it says, Brachos Dav Chav says that Reb Yochanan used to go on the outside of the gates where the woman would go to the mikvah. Said the first thing the woman would see when they came out from the mikvah was Reb Yochanan. And then they would be together with their husbands, and the children they would have would be beautiful children. Now it's a pella for many reasons. Number one, why wouldn't Reb Yochanan be worried? Reb Yochanan was asked, why do you do this? He said, I'm not afraid of the Ayin Hara. Not afraid of the Ayin Hara, you're watching women come out of the mikvah. How could you allow yourself to do that? The answer is, Reb Yochanan couldn't see. He had those eyebrows and those eyelids that we just said that he couldn't see anything, so he wasn't able to see anything. That wasn't a problem. But the woman seeing him, how is that sneeze? They're thinking of Reb Yochanan when they're around, and the answer is it wasn't Reb Yochanan's beauty that they were looking at. They saw the shine that we're talking about, that aura locus. So when they're with their husbands, they said, they thought to themselves, not that we want a guy like Reb Yochanan, we want our children to have a shine like Reb Yochanan. That's what ended up happening. That's the idea behind it. Now the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tzaras, Perek Tes Zayin, Halacha Yod, says it was a sign and wonder, this Tzaras Begadim, the Tzaras of the houses, to warn them about speaking Lashon Hara. That at first, they would be affected in their houses. If they did tshuva, it would go away, and then it would affect their clothing. If it wouldn't affect their clothing, then it went to them, and they would erupt with disease. But it was an idea of where it went from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Says the Rambam, that's how these things went. It went from one level to the next, all the way down, until they themselves got filled with it. Now the Sforno also says that the idea that we are treasured and whatever it is, but he says the opposite. He says first our clothing was affected and then our houses were affected. Either way, he says that it's amazing that at some point it stopped to the point where the Rishonim said there's no way that ever could have happened. Where the Rishonim seemed to say that, in other words, when his Rishonim referring to the Tanayim and Amorayim, where we have a Gemara that says it never really happened, says the Sforno seemingly, of course it happened, but it seems like it never happened because it's so far out from our reality. We can't consider this. This is not real to us. Therefore, it's so far out, it's just like it's not around what whatsoever. That's that. The Tzror Hamor, which is an Achron, early Achron that wrote on Rashi, says that all these Negayim stem from Adam Arishon and the filth of the Nachash HaKadmoni that tricked Chava into eating from that fruit. So during those 130 years where Adam separated from Chava, he connected with Tuma, he got involved with Shadim, he got involved with Nega Lo Yikar Ba'alecha. In other words, the Shadim that are known as Negayim, that's what he got involved with. So unfortunately, that was there. Those Negayim, meaning meaning those mazikin, those demons in this world, cause things to happen. Anybody who's done brachos on davod, third time I've quoted brachos tonight, on davod it mentions that hani mani derabbanan, those clothes of the rabbis that start to shine, if you've seen clothes that have been worn for a while and they have a shine to them, it comes from them. Mechup yedidhu. It comes from their rubbing against the clothing. Meaning, what it's referring to is Talmidei Chachamim can be approached. They can't be fully affected, but they're around. That's the tzaras of begadim. That through them coming near the clothing, those shadim coming near the clothing, they somehow can affect the clothes and make them look different to the point where it looks a little bit white or something similar in which they have something wrong with the clothes themselves. Now, the Kli Yakar says something amazing over here. We know why people get tzaras. What's the reason why people get tzaras? Because they speak Lashon Hara. Now, the truth is that the Medrash Rabbah gives 10 reasons why people get tzaras. The Yalkut Reuveni gives 16 reasons why people get tzaras, and they're not together. So meaning all together, there are really 19 reasons why people get tzaras. Almost every single one of them, not all of them, almost every single one of them deals with things that are being Adam L'Chavero. In other words, stealing, eat Gilia Rayas, or referring to Shvichus Damim, or referring to Lashon Hara, or lying, or anything like that, that leads to Tzaras. And again, it's not normal people that get it. You have to be an unbelievable tzaddik to get Tzaras. You can't just be a regular person to be able to get Tzaras. It's got to be out there. There's something mentioned up there that has to be talked about, and the Kli Yakar speaks about it at length. He says that clothes getting Tzaras was specifically because of Gaiva. That if a person had too much pride, too much of an ego, then he got tzaras, but not on his body. It came on his clothing. Now the question is why? Why did clothing get tzaras? And that refers to Gaiva. Why was that a reference to Gaiva itself? Says the Kli Yakar. People show off with their clothes. Everybody knows that. Everybody likes showing off with their clothes, whether it's more expensive clothing or more colorful clothing or something that they use in order to show who they are or what they are, whether it comes to, even if you got the proper mold of the white shirt and black pants and yeshivas, there's always something that you could do. Either it's the belt or the socks or something else that you have that makes things just a little bit different. There's always something that people use to show themselves off through their clothing. And in fact, it's a Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan said that his shirt was called Mechabdusi. It's what honors me. By wearing this special thing, that's the honor that a person shows. We all know this. This special clothing that people wear allow them to be honored in whatever position they're in. The chief Sephardic rabbi, for example, their clothing is clearly indicative of who they are. In which, I mean, there's a famous story. I don't know if anybody knows Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal was the chief rabbi of Israel in between Rav Avad Yosef and, I believe, Rav Amar. But I don't remember exactly when. I believe he was the one right before Rav Shlomo Amar. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, when he was up in Canada once, he was in, I don't know, Montreal, there was one of the places where it was freezing cold and it was snowing outside and there was a huge storm going outside. He was staying in a house that was 35 minutes away from Shul, and he had to walk to Shul in order to get there. So in order to get there, he had to go to, but Rav Amar had this thing. He would never put a coat over his special Sephardic clothing. Meaning the Sephardic garb that he wore for the chief rabbi to be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, he would never cover it up with anything else. So while he's sitting in the house and he's ready to go, he's about to walk outside the house and, you know, 5-degree, 10-degree weather with a wind chill that's well below zero, and his Revitzin, the Rabbanit, it's different, I gotta remember, it's Sephardic, so the Rabbanit turns to him and says, "You're not going outside like that. You're not going outside." He said, "Why? What's the problem?" She said, "Look outside. It's freezing cold outside and it's snowing. There's unbelievable amounts of snow." So he looks outside and he sees that it's snowing outside. He says, "What can I do? I'm not going to wear a coat." She says, "Well, we're not leaving the house if you don't wear a coat." So we're going to have this standoff. So what did he do?
Stop snowing.
Yeah. So 5 minutes later, it stopped snowing. He said, "Look, it stopped snowing. Now we can go." So she didn't want to do it, but she said, "All right, fine. It stopped snowing, so let's go." They walk outside. A minute later, after they start walking, it starts snowing again. Just as bad as before, and it was pouring snow, whatever you want to call it, pouring snow. Tons of snow started falling. When they got to the shul, they saw, this is what the Rabbanit said, when they got to the shul, the Rabbanit saw everybody else. Everybody's like getting all the tons of snow and everything off their, whatever it is. Rav Amar didn't have to take off a tiny bit of snow. It wasn't even wet. perfectly fine as he was. Of course, it's Rav Amar. Mordechai Eliyahu. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu didn't have to take off even a tiny little bit of the snow that was sitting on top. And that was Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's hotel, to tell you what kind of a person he was. We know there's special clothing for the Kohen Gadol. There's special clothing for the Kohanim as they serve in the base of Mikdash. This is obvious. This is something that everybody has. The Gemara Shabbos Kufyud Gimel speaks about this type of thing. So here's the deal. Since such a person who's trying to get himself honored, right, because he thinks he's greater than he actually is, that person is always reaching for the highest heights to get as high as he possibly can. So here's the deal. The punishment for the clothing of such a person, the gaiva that he has causes his clothing to have that saras. His punishment is that his clothes are burned by fire. Why a fire? Because a fire also reaches up to something that it can never grab. Fire also goes as far up as you possibly can. So because, again, we're dealing with a guy who believes he is so guided, he thinks he's greater than everybody else, and the sign for that is his clothing showing everybody how special he is, so that Saras goes on his clothing when he has that gaiva, and that clothing, the punishment is to burn it to show him what's going to happen, that this will happen to him, and that's that. If you want to be metahir, the clothing, meaning if the nega goes away, he works on his saras, and the nega goes away, what do you do with the clothes? The nega goes away, but the clothes are still tummy. How do you get rid of the tumah on those clothes? Take a guess.
Put in mikvah.
Water. Doesn't have to be a mikvah per se, but in mayim chayim, right? It's got to be inside water, and the poshtus behind that is that the water stands for humility. He knocked himself down. He was able to make himself humble, and thus he puts the clothing inside water to be able to make it work. That's the shot behind it, and that's the idea. Maybe he says, the Kliyakar says, that's why silk has no shaychis to tzaras begadim. Now you think silk is the most precious of all clothes. You think that for sure would be a problem of gaiva, but he says this silk comes from the lowliest of worms. Because it comes from the lowliest of worms, it comes from a stage of anivus, of the ultimate humility of something that can't even lift itself off the ground. Therefore, even though the silk is used by people for gaiva, there's no shaykhus for that to have anything to do with gaiva, because it comes from something down there, and that's the idea behind it. That's what it refers to. I'm sorry? Of course I'm right. Well, it's part of it. You have to understand how we use silk in that way. So here's what he says. The Shach quotes Azar. Now, this is not the Shach that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shach who's one of the Talmidei Arizal, the Guri Arizal, who's a Makobel. He says from the Zohar, the reason why clothes become tameh is because the person who made the clothes didn't do it l'shem shamayim. We all know that by tzitzis, the way you put tzitzis together is you got to always say l'shem shamayim, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. That's what you have to do. You put it together and you're putting everything together. You have to say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis all the way through. We are somech that when you say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, it goes the whole time. But you try to do it as much as possible. For those who are going to be baking matzah anytime soon, the point by baking matzah is you keep saying L'shem mitzvah matzahs, right? L'shem mitzvah matzahs. You keep saying it the whole time. Like anybody who's doing something, a sofer, when he's writing something in a sefer, should be thinking L'shem kiddush Hashem every time he writes a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. There's something you have to have in your head. Even when making regular clothing, you're supposed to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in mind where that's there. If you don't have that in mind, if the clothes are not made L'shem Shemayim, that's where Tumah has a place to be chal. That's where Tumah comes inside and has the ability to take over, and that's what causes Saras Begadim. As a side note, the Belzer Rebbe, the original one, the Sarmi Belz, the Rashmi Belz, so Rav Shalomi Belz, so the first Belzer Rebbe was well known that he was very into the shul. His shul in Belz was huge, and if anybody's been to the Belzer Shtiebel here in Yerushalayim, you know the Belzer Shtiebel looks like the Beis HaMikdash. What's the pshat? The Belzer Rebbe had a deal with three of his friends that they were going to stay up for 1,000 nights straight learning Torah so they could have a Gilui Eliyahu. So Eliyahu and Abi would appear to them. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean they were sleeping all day. That meant they went through the regular day doing everything they were supposed to do and then slept maybe for an hour or two in this place and then were up all night learning and then got up in the morning, slept for a little bit and then went to the regular morning seders, afternoon seders, whatever they were doing. Four people were in it. So one guy was out after 250 days. Amazing in and of itself. Another guy was out after 600. Another guy was out after like 800. Now you think, like, if you went 800, why can't you just make it? I would assume the guy was dying. I would assume most people are dying after that many days. The Belzer Rebbe went 1,000. He was the only one of the four that ended up going 1,000. So he at the end of the 1,000 days, he did get a Gilui Eliyahu. He never said if he actually got it, but he supposedly, what he learned with Eliyahu Navi was Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. That's what he learned. He learned how to make a shul. And he learned, based on Reb Chiya, the Gemara in Bava Metzi on Pehe, says how Reb Chiya ended up making Sifrei Torah and bringing Klal Yisrael back together and allow people to remember their learning. He learned how to make a shul purely with Jewish hands, so that the entire shul, you won't be able to have a tamei thought while in the shul. That if the shul is made by hands of people that are kadosh, by hands of people that only have good thoughts, then you can't have that bad thought while you're in the midst of your Shemona Esrei. Amazing. Can you imagine people that, can you imagine people that don't have bad thoughts in their Shemona Esrei? I would say the opposite way though. Can you imagine a person who actually had a good thought during their Shemona Esrei? How is it possible to be able to dive in their Shemona Esrei and concentrate the entire time without having anything else go in your head? It's amazing. You could have unbelievable kavana throughout Shema, Ezras Yisrael, going or whatever it is, and then going all the way through. Once you get down to Tzur Yisrael, Kumab Ezras Yisrael, Yisrael, Baruch HaTashem, Goal Yisrael, all of a sudden it's like, what do I have to do today? And you're like making lists. It's unbelievable. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's the Yikar. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on there. It's amazing what happens when you get up there to Daven Shemona Esrei. It's like quiet time. Quiet time for you to think about anything you want except what's right there in front of you. It's amazing what happens during our Shemona Esrei. So you have to work at it. That's that. The Belzer Rebbe says that comes from the shul. If the shul is made by non-Jewish hands, you have no choice but to think about other things. You have all their thoughts inside. The Belzer Rebbe was mocked that nobody not religious could be part of the building of the Belzer Shtiebel. I don't know about the Belzer Shtiebel here, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know how they made it and if it was made in the same way. This is the original how the Sounding Bells built his Shul and Bells. I'm sorry?
It was
the same way?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The whole thing.
Yeah.
He also said, there was another thing that he said, any money that is not kosher money, meaning money that wasn't, the money that's used to build the shul or the base medrash, if that money was from chilul Shabbos money or anything that was wrong with it, then there's no way that yeshiva can survive. There's no way the shul can survive. Something's going to be wrong. Something's going to go down. Unbelievable, isn't it? That's what the Belzer Rebbe held. I mean, it's a shita held by the Briskers as well, but it's right there. And now the Shach does say that there are two types of Mitzrayim. He goes on and he says there's two types of Mitzrayim. Some people, they do sins and they deserve to get Saras. Meaning they get Lashon Hara, they do Lashon Hara, they do something wrong and they get Saras. But he says another thing, and it's a shocker. Listen, you never really think this way, because you always we always sort of ignore this, but you never blame God for the fact that I wasn't born, I don't know, with $1 billion, you know, I never blame God for the fact that I was born with, I don't know, a red beard and brown hair, unlike most people that either have red hair and red beards or brown hair and brown beards. You don't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. There's nothing to blame, right? That's just part of genetics, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu let me be born through these parents, and that's how it ended up going. You can't really complain about stuff like that. But then again, I'm not a mamzer. So for those who are mamzerim, how fair is that? That a mamzer comes down into the world and all of a sudden he's already messed over. He can't marry anyone from Klal Yisrael. He has no choice but to marry a Gioris if he can find one, or an Eved Meshukhar, meaning a Shifcha Meshukharis, a Shifcha that was freed. How is that fair for the person we brought down to the world? And although we can't answer that question, why is that fair? The concept of this mitzora goes in the same category. Says the Shach, there are people who have no choice but to speak Lashon Hara. Meaning, yeah, in theory they could have controlled themselves. In theory, they have the ability to. But in reality, they just don't have it. They're born almost innately with a desire, a crazy taiva to speak Lashon Hara, to act with gaiva, to have that azus panim, and they can't get over it. There are people that have greater taivas in certain things than other people do. Just like certain people have more of a propensity to be lazy. Certain people have more of a propensity to be, I don't know, more giving of their money. Certain people have more propensity to be stingy with their money. There's so many different people in so many different aspects, and you can't really blame them for what they have or what it is. It's part of their makeup. Says the Shach, there's two types of tzaras. The tzaras on the person's body comes, and the way it's understood hints to the fact that the person himself did something wrong. If the tzaras goes on the clothes of the person instead of on the body, it hints to the fact that it's not his fault. This is the levush that he was born with, and he still has to work on himself, and he has to do as best as he can. He has certain responsibilities, and as we said before, in order to get tzaras, you have to be a special person to begin with. You still have to work on yourself. You're not allowed to just give up and say, well, look, I don't have anything to do, so I can't do anything anyway. I might as well just give up. You can't do that. But the fact is, a person has to understand that nonetheless, I know it's not your fault, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but you need to get that warning anyway, and it's on you. A malbush is a covering. It's not you, it's your father. He says that specifically tzaras of begadim comes when a father is together with his wife, when the father and the mother are together, when the mother is in nida. If the mother hasn't been able to get out of nida, and they were together and they had a child from that, then that person is going to be in a constant state where he should be doing sins that give him tzaras. It doesn't mean he can't perfect himself. Anybody can work on himself. But nonetheless, he is in that state, and that's the possibility here. And there's a crazy gematria that he brings. I mean, this is just up there. Bebeged semer o bebeged pishtin plus one is the gematria of 1190. Which is Zehu Shenolad Min Hanida Bein Ba'ala B'Shogeg Bein Ba'Bemezid. That's a good one. I wouldn't have thought of that one. I'm not getting out there. It comes from Anita, whether it was B'Shogeg or B'Mezid, but that says the Shach is what it refers to over here. Now let's go into a different Gemara. There's a Bechor Shor in Shabbos Kupnan Heimabez. It's really a strange Gemara. It says, Mipnei ma Talmidei Chachamim shel Bavel Mitzuyanim. Why are the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel? Why are they Mitzuyan? Why are they wearing beautiful clothing, says Rashi? Why do they wear such beautiful clothing? And the Gemara answers, She'enam b'nei Torah. Because the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, they're not really b'nei Torah. They're not really b'nei Torah. They don't know how to really learn Torah. That's the Gemara's answer. So that's a little bit of a dochek. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, they're not B'nai Torah, so they should, that's the answer why they wear colorful clothing? What exactly does that mean? So Talmidei Chachamim should wear nice clothing. If they're chashuv, then they should appear as something chashuv. I still remember my Rebbe Rav Asher Arieli in the mirror, always was immaculately dressed, always with a white pressed shirt without any issues. He always got a haircut every 3 weeks, in which his hair was always there. He looked like a prince. That's the way that any Talmid Chacham should be. A Talmid Chacham should look like a prince. That's the way it should be. So I don't understand. What does it mean by over here Talmid Chacham shouldn't look that way? What should they have? They should have stains on their clothing? A Talmid Chacham that has a stain on their clothing is Chayav Misa, says the Gemara. So how is that possible? That's number one. And number two, what exactly is that answer? Now, according to the Ramban that we mentioned up above, Talmidei Chachamim are the ones who have the Shechina and should have Siyata Deshmaya to make the right halachic decisions that everything should go well. That's the way it should be. Those people were the ones who were Zohar received Negayim. Why? Now, you have to understand, what does the word Nega mean? I know Nega means plague, but the word Noga means what? Noga. To touch. Noga means, it's like a Kaddish Baruch Hu saying to the person, just like, you need to stop. Putting a little touch on that person and saying, stop it right now. It burns you. It burns you. And if it touches your clothing, it burns the clothing. And what it does to the clothing is it makes it white, like a red hot burn turns something white. That's what it's supposed to do over here. So the way you understand it is like this. Negayim only appear on white clothing. I know that's strange, because if it's white, how could it appear on white clothing? But it's a different type of white. It doesn't happen on colorful clothes. If so, a Talmid Chacham should always wear white clothing. Why should he always wear white clothing? Because if a Kaddish Baruch Hu has to tell him something, if there needs to be a message being given to him by God, if he's wearing colorful clothing, he won't get that message. He should wear white clothing so that what? That he can always get the message. So why are the Talmidei Chachamim in Babel wearing colorful clothing? What's the point of them wearing colorful clothing? They're missing out. If they wear colorful clothing, they won't get that message from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Why aren't they wearing white clothing so they can get the message? Says the Bechor Shor, the Gemara answers with She'enam b'nei Torah, because they don't consider themselves chashuv enough to get that message. They don't think they're great enough. Maybe they aren't. Maybe they're not great enough. As we said before, Torah seems to only appear in Eretz Yisrael. Those people in Babel are not great enough to get that message. So therefore, they don't need to wear white clothing. They're not going to get the message anyway. They only wear colorful clothing. That's the idea behind it. They're not so great to be able to get those in the game, and that's the answer that I ended up giving. I'm going to leave you guys with a question. Okay? I haven't heard any answers on this that are good. The only answer that I've ever heard is that it's machlokas midrashim, and I don't accept that answer. That's not a good answer whatsoever. I have one possibility of an answer, but it's not such a great answer. It's going to be quick over here. Medrash Tanhuma and Siman Yud in this week's parsha says the famous thing. It's hard for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to put his hand on people. Even if they do sins, he doesn't want to touch him. He doesn't want to say anything bad to them. So what does he do? He warns him first by putting a nega on his house. If he listens, good. But if he doesn't listen, then he puts the nega on his beged. If he listens, good. And if he doesn't, then the nega is going to go on the guy's body. So it goes from house to beged to body, like we said before. That's the famous Medrash Tanhuma that everybody quotes. It's not a Gemara. It's not a Rashi. It's brought down by the Medrash Tanhuma. So it's a strange Medrash Tanhuma itself, and I'm not going to really go. It seems like it's completely out of order. In the Negayim, in the Parsha, first we talk about Adam, then we talk about Begadim, then we talk about houses. So it should be the opposite. Except first God does it on the person, then he does it on Begadim, then he does it on the house. Okay, and that's right there. But it could be that it's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is your father, and it's a wayward son. The way he really needs, I mean, if the son really needs to learn a lesson, you got to give him a little smack. Again, we're not dealing with nowadays how it goes with that. I don't want to get arrested, and I am on tape, so I'm not going to say that. But sometimes the kid needs a little bit of a smack. Hakei hashino, so to speak. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu realized that smacking the kid is going to hurt the kid. So he doesn't want to hurt the kid. So first, what does the father do? He like punches the guy's, I don't know, like you could say his bed. Right? He just goes up to the bed and punches the bed. When he doesn't realize that, then he takes his clothes and he punches the clothing. And when the kid still doesn't realize it, that's when he has to take down the kid. Okay, obviously not out of anger, because that would be usher and that would be terrible, and you don't want to do that. But obviously in a good way, in some way that would work. And that's that. And if that's the way a Kadosh Baruch Hu relates, it goes that way. In other words, he first gives the Yisurin to something else outside of you. And if you don't realize it, then eventually it goes to you. That's the reason why it should be. It's the opposite in the psukim. Obviously, the greatest effect of tzaras is on the person's body. The lower effect is when it's on the clothes. The lowest effect is when it's on the house. But that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu does it in the opposite way. Because he realizes that you need warnings first, and then finally it goes on you. So it goes the opposite way when it comes to that. But I have a serious problem with it. I just don't understand it bechlal. This, the Gemara that we mentioned before in Sanhedrin, in Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, houses have never had tzaras. Lo haya v'lo yiyah. It never happened that houses ever got tzaras, and it never will be that houses get tzaras. It's a Gemara, says it straight out. It's the same thing with an Ir Nidachas. There never was an Ir Nidachas, there never will be. And the same thing with a Ben Sora Remora. A wayward and rebellious son, there never was, there never will be. Now, it's funny, because the wayward and rebellious son, Reb Yonason, comes along and says, I stood on the grave of a Ben Sora Remora. Then he says, I stood on the grave of one, so I know there was one. By the, what's it called? By the Ir Nidachas, Reb Yonason comes along and says, this guy's all over the place. Reb Yonason says, I stood on the mound of the burnt ashes of an Ir Nidachas. So I stood on top of it. By Tzaras Abayis, Reb Yonason never says it was on it. Mashma, it never happened. Now it doesn't mention Tzaras Begadim, which is another question. Why doesn't it mention Tzaras Begadim? But it happens to say that there is no Tzaras Abayim. So how could this medrash be true? How is it possible that first you get it on Batim, then you get it on Begadim, and then you get it on the person, if it never happened, it never will happen? How is that possible? If it never happened, then that means no one has ever gotten Tzaras. But we know people have gotten Tzaras. Tzaras is mentioned in the Torah by Miriam. It's not like, maybe you could say that Tzaras of Naaman, and the Tzaras of Paro, and the Tzaras of Goliath, maybe all those are different Tzaras. Fine, maybe that's a different type of Tzaras. But the Tzaras that is mentioned in the Torah for Lashon Hara is without a question, it happened to Miriam. Why didn't it go to her house first? Why didn't it go on her clothing next? And then it should have gone to her. You need a warning. So why by Miriam did it go that way? And how did that medrash answer up a straight out pasuk in the Torah? So my answer would be, because Miriam was different, she was a great Talmid Chachama. So therefore it went on her, she go in on her body first. I understand that. But then, I don't understand, if Tzaras Batim never happened, then nobody else ever got Tzaras ever? Is that mamish true? So what are the answer? Machlokas Medrashim. They argue with each other. That's not the answer. So what I want to know, for everybody here, is how does this work? Ask somebody. I've never heard a good answer. I've never heard a good answer. I have ideas. I have concepts of when which Tzaras is which. But I want to hear an answer. This is by far, I thought I'd find 6 answers to this question. I looked in all the places that I thought I could look, but the problem is, it could be in another place, and it's just not where I'm looking. If you can find one, I want to hear it. We'll stop with that for right now.